بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My dear respected elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed us with witnessing beautiful months, the month of Rajab, the month of Sha'ban, the month of Ramadan, and now the month of Shawwal. When Rajab started, we read the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. When Ramadan came, we read the dua, Allahumma sallimni li Ramadan wa sallim Ramadan ali wa sallimhu li mutaqabbala. And then Allah blessed us with the month of Shawwal. If we look back from the month of Rajab right up until now, we've been constantly in a mode of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly hoping and aspiring for a blessed month of Ramadan, and now the month of Shawwal. We fasted the entire month, we read Taraweeh Salah the entire month, and now brothers and sisters are fasting in the month of Shawwal. The sabak, the lesson that we learn, and that which is being taught to us is of consistency. 30 days you fast for the entire month, the month of Ramadan. It is not allowed and permitted for a person out of the month of Ramadan to fast consecutively like a person fasts in the month of Ramadan. This is the only month in the year that you are permitted and allowed. In fact, you are instructed to fast 30 days consecutively. So the sabak and the lesson taught to us is of consistency. Now, the first surah of the Quran al-Kareem contains and consists of 7 verses and 7 parts. In the first 3 parts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Himself and teaches us how to praise Him. And in the last 3 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and tells us, informs us of how to ask of Him. So 3 things, praise and dua. So that is why when you're making the dua, the etiquette of dua is what? Praise Allah first, then ask. Don't just lift your hands up and say, Allah, I want this, I want that. There's an etiquette, and the etiquette is established from the Quran al-Kareem. So the first dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and shows us and tells us to ask of Him is what? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ O Allah, guide us on the straight path. No dua. The first dua was not of Jannat. The first dua was not of Jahannam. The first dua was focused on guiding us on the straight path. The Mufassirun explain, what is Hidayat? What is guidance? One form of Hidayat and guidance is Tawfiq. Tawfiq. And subhanAllah, the Mufassirun give such a beautiful explanation. Tawfiq means and refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating the internal means and the external means for a person to carry out an act that is pleasant to him and is difficult to oppose. That is tawfiq. So today I may have a feeling to read Quran. Today I may have a feeling to give out charity. But the circumstance doesn't allow for it. I don't have the funds. I'm very busy. Oh, I've got everything, but I don't have the feeling to do it. That is not tawfiq. Tawfiq is when both come into play at once. When the internal and the external circumstance allows for it. So this is hidayat. The first dua you are asking of is of hidayat. Now the question arises, you are here present today. In your salah, you read Surah Fatiha. At a minimum, every Muslim male and every Muslim female recite Surah Fatiha in their salah 20 times a day. 20 times a day. That's excluding your sunnats and your nawafil salah. 20 times a day you are reading Surah Al-Fatiha and you are reading this dua over and over again. You know, they talk about positive affirmations. They talk about resolutions. A mu'min, on a daily basis, 20 times a day in his salah, this is his dua. And this is his resolution, to remain on the straight path. No salah is complete without reciting Surah Fatiha. Across the globe, whichever country in the world, your salah is incomplete if you do not recite Surah Fatiha. In fact, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. There's no salah without Surah Fatiha. That further emphasizes the importance of this dua. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guidance. Now, you're in salah, you're performing salah, but you're still asking for guidance. Obvious question. The answer to that, the Mufassirun explain, is that today Allah has given you the internal and external means. You've got no guarantee whether you'll do that for the next salah. You've got no guarantee whether you'll do that tomorrow. We've seen so many people, entire life spent in zina, in sin, in drugs, in alcohol. But then towards the end of their life, Allah blesses them with guidance. And shocking, at times they recite the kalima and they leave this world. And then we start thinking to ourselves, how did they earn the mercy of Allah? Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. It is in Allah's hands. So one part of this dua is hidayat, guidance. The second part of the dua is as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guidance for what? On the straight path. Obviously the straight path is the path that the Anbiya alayhi wasalam followed, the sulaha, the pious followed. But in order to remain on that path, you've got to have steadfastness. Istiqama. And that is why we see the word al-mustaqim and istiqama, they share common words and common letters. They come from the same words and root words. On one occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba and there was sand in front of him. He took his hand, he took his finger and he drew two lines on the right and he then drew two lines on the left. And then he drew a line in the middle. And he placed his hand on the middle line. And then he said, Hada Sabilullah. This is the path of Allah. In other words, there is only one line. And there is only one path. And then he recited the verse of the Quran al-Kareem, Wa anna hada sirati mustaqiman fattabi'u. This is the path. Do not go away from it. Do not deviate from it. So, like it or not, you and I, male or female, Muslims, believers, are on a path. Are on a path. And we need to keep in mind that we always stay on the path and we do not go off the path. So what is the definition of istiqama? A person has to have istiqama to remain on the path. Umar radiallahu anhu explains istiqama and he says, istiqama is holding on unwaveringly to the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carrying out good deeds, staying away and abstaining from evil deeds. And he adds one more part to it, saying that one does not seek escape routes like foxes do. Unfortunately today, even amongst our own community, we find people asking questions to make life easy for themselves. They know the answer, but let's try and find an easier way to do it. Or there's a dispute between two parties, between the husband and the wife, or between partners, or in a business relationship, it's an ongoing mediation, or ongoing arbitration, etc. One will phrase a question in this way, the other will phrase the question in another way, to get a response that suits his needs. It's common amongst ourselves, what we call fatwa shopping. And we try and trick the alim, or try and trick the mufti, to give you a response that suits your needs, so that you can use that in a dispute against your partner, against your wife. So, istiqama is what? One definition also of istiqama is ikhlas, niyat. You are pure in your intention. So when you're seeking, seek to act upon, do not seek to divert, do not seek to just make it easy and find a loophole out of it. So on one occasion, a sahabi, Sufyan al-Thaqafi radiallahu anhu, he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and remember when sahaba ask questions, they ask questions to act upon it, not to deviate or find an easy way out of it. So he comes to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, قُلِّي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكَ. Tell me something about Islam. I don't have to ask anyone about it after you. In other words, give me one statement, one line that will suffice for me. I don't need guidance from anyone else or advice from anyone else after you. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made statements that were encompassing. He didn't make statements just out of the ordinary. Everything was well articulated and well delivered. He said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. Say, I believe in Allah. In other words, profess your iman. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. And then remain steadfast. That's all. He didn't say, give charity. He didn't say, perform salah. Everything is encompassed in this. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Remain steadfast. On one occasion, a sahabi asked Umm Salama radiallahu anha, the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the most frequent dua that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made? You know, we always ask people, make dua for me, etc. We need to learn to make dua for ourselves and use the duas that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. So he came and he wanted to know what was the most frequent dua he read, because she witnessed, or the wives of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed what he would say, what duas he would make. So she said, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. This was the dua he made all the time, that, oh, the changer of hearts, oh, the controller of hearts, keep my heart firm on deen, keep it firm on deen. Even Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making this dua. So, we know as Muslims, we make mistakes, a person commits sins. Now, does that go against the definition of istiqamah? The simple answer to that is no. Why? Because you are a believer and you must commit sins, you must make mistakes. And we find evidence of this in the Quran Kareem, where it is mentioned, فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا, that be steadfast and make istighfar. What was the purpose of saying make istighfar if you were on the straight path? There would be instances that one would err. There would be instances that one will make a mistake. But come back to the straight path. The problem is, or the issue is, when a person continuously commits a crime, commits a sin, and deviates and says, you know what, next Ramadan I'll make that tawbah. Or the next Jummah, you know what, when I've got the opportunity I'll make that tawbah. That is where the problem is. That goes against the definition of istiqamah. And that is where we abuse the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Why must we make statements like this, or even think in this way? If we do so, Allah forbid, we should not be deprived of the mercy of Allah from remaining on the straight path. So, on one occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا. Remain on the straight path as strictly as possible, and if you cannot do so, وَقَارِبُوا. Stay as close as possible to it. Stay as close as possible to it. And then he said that, remember, none of you, regardless of how good you are or how much good you have done in your life, those actions, those a'mal do not guarantee your entrance into Jannah. So sahaba was shocked. You can imagine the salah they performed, the sacrifice they committed to. They went in jihad, they lost wives, children, etc. They were shocked and surprised. What is this? So they said, oh Nabi of Allah, even you, your own actions will not guarantee your entry into Jannah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even I, there's no guarantee of my actions. There's no guarantee of me entering Jannah simply by my actions. It is only the mercy of Allah that enwraps me and that will ensure my entrance into Jannah. The Nabi of Allah, the best of Anbiya, he is saying my actions won't guarantee entrance into Jannah. So the obvious question arises, that you and I do good a'mal, do good actions. We fasted in the month of Ramadan, we read Taraweeh. Does it mean that we just give up on those actions? No, it doesn't mean that. Why? Because the command of Allah is what? Fastaqim kama umirt. Remain steadfast on what you've been commanded upon. At the end of the day, it is Allah's ultimate judgment that will decide our fate, whether we enter Jannah or whether we don't. Allah wants to see your commitment. Allah wants to see your consistency. You made those resolutions in Ramadan. You made those resolutions whilst you were fasting. Will you carry it out or not? Allah wants to see that. Allah is watching you, your mind, your heart, your thoughts, everything. So, Ibn al-Qayyim Jawzi rahimahullah explains and he says that the best way to ensure that a person remains steadfast on deen or steadfast on the path is what? You see, we get these fleeting thoughts. These thoughts that come into the mind. It will come in your mind at night, the middle of the day, you don't think anything about it, then it comes back into your mind again, then you entertain the thought, then it becomes an intention, and then it takes you further and further away from the ultimate true path. It has to be a constant reminder. Istiqama is not just an act. Istiqama is just not an act. It's a constant effort of consistency, persistence, that a person remains on the straight path. In one hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي أَمْلَأُ صَدْرَكَ غِنًا وَأَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ. That free yourself. In other words, when you come to the masjid, when you're doing an action, free yourself only and solely for me. That's it. What will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill your heart with riches. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate any poverty and difficulty in your life. And if you don't, in other words, you do not free yourself for Allah, you are not consistent in what you are saying and what you are doing, what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam records and mentions, مَلَأْتُ يَدَيْكَ شُغْلًا وَلَمْ أَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ. I will fill your plate and your life with difficulties, with problems, and I will not alleviate your poverty. The day, my brother, my elder, when you are suffering from some form of difficulty, ask yourself, how consistent was I with my salah? Am I going to the masjid for Fajr salah only on certain days? Am I going to the masjid for certain salahs or for certain jummas only? If the answer is no, then the solution is consistency in your ibadat, in your actions. And one of the lessons we can take is from the life of Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam was the Nabi of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him good health and immense wealth. He had everything. He had properties, livestock, cattle, horses, you name it. He had everything that you can think of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the abundant children. The Mufassirun explained he was given 7 sons and 7 daughters. At the age of 70, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with a sickness. Remember, 70 years of age, not young, he's old. 70 years of age, and Allah took away his health. The Mufassirun explained that he was suffered from a disease, a skin disease, and most likely it was leprosy. He had sores all over his body from top to bottom. And there were worms in each of those sores. Nothing was free from his body except his tongue and his heart. Everything was covered in leprosy and in disease. But he used that tongue, he used that heart to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may ask, what do you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in that situation? What a situation. He cannot do anything for himself whatsoever. So how he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He would thank Allah for giving him this disease because it afforded him more time, more opportunity to devote himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his wife, everyone left him. His family passed away or they distanced themselves from him. His friends left him. Everyone left him except for his wife. His wife stood by his side, and his wife was now forced to go into the village nearby and to earn an income to provide for the both of them. So she would go to the village, she would earn, and she would come back and see to him. On one occasion, She approached him and she said that, why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you? Remember, Ayyub alayhi salam, not once did he complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that entire circumstance of his situation. So then he told her that, why should I ask Allah to cure me, whereas I enjoyed 70 years of my life in bounties, in the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a few years is going to do to me? So after that, he saw that, you know what, it's becoming difficult for his wife. And out of consideration for her, he lifted up his hands and he made dua. Again, not complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautifully, he said, Rabbi anni massani abdur. Oh my Rabb, oh Allah, I have been inflicted with this disease. He didn't say, Ya Allah, you gave me this disease. He didn't say, Ya Allah, I'm suffering from all this pain and all this and all that. Nothing whatsoever. I've been inflicted with this disease. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you are the most merciful, you are the most compassionate. Then the verses were revealed, Urkud birijlik hada mughtasalun baridu wa sharab. Take your foot, stamp it on the ground, water comes up. Allah commands him to bathe in it. Allah commands him to drink the water. When he did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored his body to its original form. At the same time, وَوَهَبَنَا لَهُ أَهْلَ. His wife that became frail, that lost her energy over the years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored her to her original state of beauty and youthfulness. This wasn't manicure, pedicure or Botox or anything whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored her to her original state. وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him everything that he lost, his wealth and his family. According to some mufassirun, they say that the children, the seven sons and seven daughters passed on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them back to life, according to one explanation. Another explanation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted her the ability to give birth, and she gave birth to those seven sons and seven daughters again. And another explanation is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them children and further grandchildren. So the lesson we learn from the story of Ayyub alayhi salam is, never complain. Whether you are in difficulty and whether you are in ease, always maintain istiqama. Always be consistent, whether in difficulty and whether in ease. So there would be challenges. There would be challenges, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate decider of our faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of our hearts. And that is why we need to include this dua on a day-to-day basis. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. And then when we recite Surah Fatiha on a daily basis, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. I am asking for hidayat. I am asking for tawfiq, because there is no guarantee whether or not I will earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless one and all with tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless one and all with istiqama and keep us firm on his deen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.